Authorities release more details in the shooting of a St. Regis man by a Highway Patrol trooper. Good evening, I'm Sarah Jovetich.
And I'm Courtney Anderson, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition.
Capitol reporter Dan Boyce tells us about the new warden for the state women's prison. And in our feature interview, reporter Edward O'Brien talks with a home health care expert about how stress caregivers face. In the minutes before a St. Regis man was shot by a Montana Highway Patrol trooper, he called a family member and said he had a law enforcement officer's in the crosshairs of his scope. Sanders County Coroner Kathy Harris said today that Trooper Adam Gain of Missoula shot 62-year-old Howard Curtis Martin on Wednesday night. An investigation by the State Division of Criminal Investigation found that after leaving his home during a domestic dispute, Martin called a family member to say he had a law enforcement officer in his gun sights and was on a ridge near his home. Officials say during an encounter with officers, Martin would not allow commands to drop the rifle and instead raised it toward officers. Gain was placed on administrative leave while the case is investigated.
And in other news from around the state, the Montana Supreme Court is rejecting a request from Barry Beach to reconsider its decision to send him back to prison for the 1979 murder of a classmate after he spent 1.5 years as a free man awaiting a new trial. The court issued a ruling yesterday that sticks with its decision issued just last month to reject a lower court decision granting Beach a new trial. The high court split 4-3 in both decisions. Beach advocates have long argued he has been wrongly imprisoned for murder they say was the result of an out-of-control fight among jealous girls. The 51-year-old Beach was living a quiet life in Billings when he was ordered back to prison. His supporters have vowed to continue the legal fight.
Toole County authorities say a 20-year-old sunburst man died in an oil field accident. Coroner Dan Whitted identified the man as Kobe Epperson, an employee of Somont Oil Company. Whitted told KSEN-AM that Epperson and another crew member were using a wheel wrench on a wellhead north of Kevin yesterday afternoon. A piece of the wrench broke off, striking Epperson in the chest. He was pronounced dead at Marias Medical Center in Shelby. Whitted says the cause of death was blunt force trauma. Billings OSHA Area Officer Director Jeff Funk says a safety and health officer was headed to the site. Somont is a family-owned company that operates oil and natural gas wells in Toole County north of Shelby.
Officials in Lake County say a Virginia man has died of injuries suffered in a rollover crash on Highway 83 in the Swan Valley. Undersheriff Dan Yonkin says the 46-year-old man died early today at Kalispell Regional Medical Center of injuries suffered in a crash that happened about 9:20 last night, about a mile south of the junction with Secondary 209. Yonkin says the crash remains under investigation. The man's name and hometown have not been released.
Federal prosecutors have charged State Senator Shannon Ogier with drunken driving, obstructing a peace officer, and reckless driving after the Browning Democrat allegedly fled a traffic stop last month. Assistant U.S. Attorney Ryan Weldon filed the charging documents today in U.S. District Court in Great Falls. The charges are misdemeanors if convicted, Ogier would face penalties of between 9 and 15 months in prison and up to $1,800 in fines. Ogier, who also is a Blackfeet Tribal Council member, was pulled over on the reservation May 26th. He allegedly told the Glacier County Sheriff's deputy he had no jurisdiction to make an arrest and left when the deputy attempted to take his keys. Ogier did not immediately return a call for comment.
An appellate court panel has overturned a judge's decision that would have allowed political parties to contribute to candidates in nonpartisan judicial races in Montana. However, the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals panel today reaffirmed its ruling the state's ban on party endorsements and expenditures in those races is unconstitutional. The three-judge panel allowed U.S. District Judge Charles Lovell's permanent injunction of the state law banning party endorsements and expenditures in judicial elections. But the panel says Lovell overstepped a previous 9th Circuit ruling when he included party contributions in the junction last year. Sanders County Republican Central Committee sued the state in 2012, saying it wanted to endorse candidates who share its judicial philosophy. The state argued parties have no right to constitutional partisan activity in nonpartisan elections.
The State Department of Corrections has announced a new warden for the Montana Women's Prison. The prison's Deputy Warden for Treatment Services, Joan Daly, will take over management of the prison next week. Capitol reporter Dan Boyce says current warden Joe Acton announced her retirement after employees accused her of inappropriate conduct.
Warden Joe Acton has been running the 194-bed Montana Women's Prison for 18 years. But earlier this year, an investigation was launched into her performance after an employee emailed superiors with concerns. This led to interviews with other workers who said Acton was conducting personal business during work hours, that she was mentally unstable and profane, and that she led by fear and intimidation. Shortly after she was placed on leave for the investigation, Acton submitted her letter of retirement. She said in a statement the investigation did lead to her announcement. She said, quote, "The leave gave me the opportunity to reflect on how I was not coping with stress and was allowing it to impact my behavior and my health," end quote. Her replacement, Deputy Warden for Treatment Services Joan Daly, started at the prison about a year ago. Department of Corrections Director Mike Batista says he understands Daly's management style to be collaborative.
She's very thoughtful. She's very people-oriented. She just has a very good professional demeanor about her.
I really think having the employees be a part of the process and have a say in what their environment looks like and what their role is in it is the way I operate.
That's Daly. Her education and job experience primarily involves mental health. Daly was the associate administrator at the Montana State Hospital in Warm Springs. She spent 7 years as director of psychiatry at Billings Clinic. She says that experience lends itself well to corrections.
A great deal of the women and others in corrections situations have mental health issues as well as chemical dependency, and that background is helpful in that light.
Ultimately, though, she says security comes first.
For the purpose of keeping the inmates safe, the staff safe, and the public safe. And so those are the first line of how we operate. And from there, then we work with the special needs of individual inmates.
Daly says there has been a nationwide refocus on recovery efforts, giving inmates more self-direction in their treatment.
I think things have changed in that we put the inmate or the patient or the client at the center of our process, not as an adjunct piece after we've already decided what their treatment needs to look like.
She says that focus on re-entry into society starts the moment an inmate walks in the door. Joan Daly will make just over $80,000 when she starts her job as the women's prison warden in Billings next Monday. I'm Dan Boyce reporting at the Capitol.
Montana's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate fell by a tenth of a percentage point to 5.4% in May, continuing a long-term downward trend that started in mid-2010. The national rate increased by 0.1 percentage point to 7.6%. Labor Commissioner Pam Busey says Montana added more than 2,500 jobs in the past 2 months.
All 50 miles of Glacier Park's Going to the Sun Highway opened for traffic today, but travelers should be prepared for changing weather conditions and construction delays. Park spokeswoman Denise Germain says there's a little bit of construction going on now on the west side, and starting at the end of the month, more construction on the east side.
It's basically an expectation of a maximum 40-minute delay for an entire trip. So if you're heading from one side to the other side, your expectation should be about a 40-minute delay.
The Sun Point area on the east side will be closed because of construction. Germain says many trails are open, but not all yet, depending on the elevation and snow conditions.
As you get up a little bit higher, you're going to run into a little bit more snow, wet conditions. So it varies across the park what's open at this point and what's not. And I would anticipate it's a good 3 to 4 weeks yet for the Highline Trail to be accessible.
Germain reminds visitors to be prepared for changing weather conditions that could affect travel in the park, whether on the highway or on the trail.
Reminder for folks is as conditions change specifically with the weather, just need to be prepared, you know, drive with caution. If you're out hiking, you know, be careful walking on snow. There's still portions of snow, you know, that are collapsible. You know, they may be underneath empty, so they could collapse. Falling snow, falling debris, rocks, mud, all the natural things that happen at an alpine area.
The Logan Pass Visitor Center will be open tomorrow with water and restroom services available.
The United Way of Missoula focuses on improving education, income, and health. To do so, they have partnered with 22 local nonprofits and 30 community programs. Reporter Ruth Eddy says today the United Way joined 270 communities in 13 countries in a day of action.
It's the longest day of the year, and what better way to spend it than volunteering in your community?
United Way CEO Susan Haypatrick, along with more than 200 volunteers, spent today all across Missoula taking action. The day was previously known as Day of Caring and was changed for a reason.
We all care. You know, we are a very caring community. But sometimes for all kinds of legitimate reasons, our personal lives, our work lives get in the way of action. So what's symbolic about the Day of Action is it's a day when we really focus on translate that caring into action. Because we can care all we want, but if we're not acting, we're not changing community conditions for the better.
The School of Extended and Lifelong Learning played tug of war and hula hooped with kids in the park. Missoula Federal Credit Union helped seniors plant gardens. And the Missoula Interfaith Collaborative spent the morning at YWCA's transitional housing,
cleaning out the gutters and mowing some of the lawns and staining the playhouse here.
Casey Dunning, the director for Missoula Interfaith Collaborative, or MIC, was balanced on a ladder, paintbrush in hand. Dunning himself is a Christian, but his organization connects people of all faiths in about 25 area congregations. United Way recognized the need for an organization like MIC and announced their financial support today.
People of faith are deeply motivated to volunteer, and it's great to have their volunteer efforts coordinated so that they do the most good, so that not everybody's having a food drive between Thanksgiving and Christmas and there are no food drives going on in February and March.
Essentially, we're a catalyst that builds bridges among congregations and then among congregations and social agencies and such.
One of those social agencies is the Missoula Food Bank. MIC has coordinated for one congregation each month to hold a food drive. Since starting the program in January, the collaborative has donated 7,500 pounds of food. Gina Hegg, also a part of MIC, was excited today to be trimming hedges.
The most important thing we feel is action is needed. And oftentimes we organize and organize and the action never takes place.
For Hegg, United Way's Day of Action is similar to what the Interfaith Collaborative tries to do every day.
Collaborating with different organizations, and you think about us all coming from different, you know, like spectrums, you know, some spirituality, some just thoughts and needs in the community. It's fun to collaborate and see everybody working, you know, like action, scissors, chop, chop.
If you're interested in taking action or learning more about the Missoula Interfaith Collaborative, you can find them online at missoulainterfaithcollaborative.org. For Montana Evening Edition, I'm Ruth Eddy.
Experts say that providing care for the elderly or the disabled can be a very rewarding experience. It can also be extremely challenging work. A company providing in-home non-medical services to the Missoula and Ravalli counties recently launched a family caregiver stress relief program to specifically address those challenges. In tonight's feature interview, Home Instead senior care owner Denise Kruger says home care is becoming an increasingly popular alternative.
Well, we know that nearly one-third of all American adults are family caregivers, which means that many of your listeners currently are caring for a senior loved one or other family member in some capacity.
What's going on? Is it the baby boomer generation that's moving into that time of life?
Yes.
Stresses aside for just a moment, what are some of the common responsibilities, the common chores that caregivers have?
You know, I think that those who are in this position, they don't realize how much they're doing. It's from when they wake up. We've got many family members right now that are responsible from the moment they wake up and getting their loved one ready for the day, medication reminders, making sure that they're on track with their medications, making sure that they're provided nutritious meals that fit with their diet restrictions, getting them showered and dressed, and then it's lunchtime, and then what doctor's appointments are thrown in there that they need to get them to. Making sure that they are comfortable and safe throughout the day, and maybe toileting and all aspects of personal care. And they're trying to raise a family, hold a career, and they have so many things going on, including the stressors and all of the requirements of caring for their loved one.
You know, a couple of years ago, I got a new puppy. That was tough enough. I had to run home a couple of times a day to, you know, take care of everything. Right. And I can't imagine how somebody does this and balances their professional life, their personal life.
Right, exactly. You think of what it takes to be able to stay in your own home and thrive there, and there are just so many components that one doesn't even think of that goes into that.
And this must be completely amplified if the loved one, parent's relative is going through Alzheimer's, some form of dementia.
Exactly. Or post-stroke or diabetes or some other complication on top of just the normal natural aging process.
Is it possible without, in those cases, to do that without professional intervention?
You know, I think it definitely is possible. I think that people are, I know that people are doing it out there today and they're doing it very successfully. But what we do see day in and day out is the stress, whether it be physical or emotional tolls that it is taking on them that they're not always aware of. And so I think that it's important to find that balance, and obviously depending on the amount of assistance your loved one needs, making sure that that family caregiver isn't taking too much of a stress out on their body and their mind. Oftentimes we see a husband and a wife scenario, and the wife or the husband is the primary caregiver for the other. And let's say it's a wife, she's caring for her husband, and her husband is really, really not able to do any of his daily tasks, and she is putting all of her energy into that, and soon she starts to decline more rapidly than he does. And that's something that we see very frequently.
Yeah, you mentioned physical and emotional tolls. Mm-hmm. Let's go through those. Physical to begin with.
Yeah, you bet. You know, whenever there is a family member in a caregiving situation, there is the potential for a dangerous condition called caregiver distress, which could put caregivers at risk for heart disease, diabetes, and other physical. When we talk about emotional depression and psychological concerns that they could definitely develop. Not having enough help when caring for a loved one can leave them feeling alone, can lead to financial problems, can influence a poor diet, lack of exercise, poor sleep patterns.
How do you know if you're ready to tackle something like this?
You know, I don't know that you do. I think that so many people are just thrown into the situation where they have to just step up and do it. And I think that oftentimes that is what leads to a person not realizing that they are overwhelmed and overdoing it because it's just something they have to do. And they just, all of a sudden one day something happens, mom has a fall, and you're just on it. You're just doing your job as a daughter or a son.
I think some of us are more giving than others.
I think that obviously it takes an extreme amount of patience. And I've heard sons and daughters say, I never knew I was such a patient person. And they do. They feel like it's just what they need to do. And they didn't know that they had it in them until the moment arose where they had to just do it.
But then the stresses that come with this, I would assume people tend to push it down, you know, not complain about it so much. And that
right.
can't be healthy.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why Home Instead Senior Care wanted to launch a campaign, the Family Caregiver Stress Relief Campaign. Just to be a resource to those out there that are family caregivers, to offer a Are You a Caregiver quiz, a family caregiver distress assessment, so that folks can go on the website and really just dig around at their leisure and look for information to help them, even maybe recognize if they are or aren't a caregiver and what tolls are being taken.
Tell us about the stress assessment.
The stress assessment helps caregivers determine their risk for distress and potential serious physical and emotional conditions. So it's a free tool that is available on the website.
Denise, do you think the genders deal with these stresses differently?
I do. You know, typically you see daughters that are really willing to step up. I think that sons have a little bit more difficult time, but absolutely, that's not always the case. But with that being said, women report more psychological distress than men. I think certain caregivers are definitely more vulnerable to caregiver distress, and those tend to be the female caregivers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's because they take on more or more of those one-third of Americans are females, but it does tend to affect them more. Sons and daughters do get to a point where they're maybe reaching out for help, not necessarily because they feel like they need it for their physical and emotional distress, but they feel more like, I realize I'm starting to become impatient with my loved one, and I know that's not fair, and it doesn't feel good for me, and it's not fair for them, and I need help because of that.
How do the pros deal with these sorts of stresses? It's got to be a tough job if you're paid to do it, much less doing it for free.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they really look for support from other professional caregivers and support groups that they can attend. A lot of them like to keep a journal and write their thoughts and just really be expressive of what they deal with, whether it be through writing or talking with others who are involved in that.
And do you think the professional caregiving industry is ready for this influx of senior citizens?
I do. You know, obviously, it's got to be a special person to take care of a senior and provide that assistance. When you look at professional caregivers, I know at Home Instead, we look for the best of the best. We look for those that are just born with that passion to serve others. It's something that you can't be taught. It's got to be compassion that is deep inside and patience, and it certainly takes a special someone. And I think with that being said, definitely in this day and age, it's more challenging to come by that perfect individual. But it's so very important, and there are a lot of great caregivers out there, and I do feel confident that there are enough and we're ready to step up and take on that challenge of the growing senior population.
Mm. Okay, so if somebody out there is listening and this is kind of ringing a bell that life is getting a little tough, maybe a little overwhelming, and they want to find out more about this program, how can they do so?
They can go to familycaregiverstressrelief.com. Education and having resources is the most important tool and knowledge that one could have.
And it's not rare. It's not unusual. You're not a selfish jerk if you're feeling these emotions.
No, exactly. And that's, people often have a hard time with those exact feelings. They feel guilty. And no, it is not uncommon. And it's most important to get help before a crisis does happen, either with their loved one or themselves physically or emotionally.
Denise Kruger of Home Instead Senior Care in Missoula, thanks a lot for stopping by.
Thank you.
In tonight's weather forecast for west of the Continental Divide, tonight will be mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers with lows in the mid-30s to lower 40s. Tomorrow expect mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of thunderstorms and highs in the 60s. Sunday calls for partly cloudy skies with some fog in the morning and a slight chance of showers in the afternoon and evening with highs in the 70s. For central Montana, tonight will be mostly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms and lows in the upper 40s. Tomorrow expect mostly cloudy skies with a chance of showers with highs in the upper 60s. Sunday calls for partly cloudy skies with a chance of rain showers. Highs will be from 65 to 75 degrees. And for southwest Montana, tonight expect mostly cloudy skies with a chance of thunderstorms and lows around 35 to 45 degrees. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms through the day and highs in through 55 to 65 degrees. Sunday calls for partly cloudy skies and highs around 65 to 75 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Terry Kendrick.
Today is my mom's birthday. She has been going around her house singing 76 trombones. That should give you a clue as to how old she is. My mom and I are lucky to have a close relationship and a very strong friendship. She and I were together for my first 4 years of life, and then she married my stepdad. By everyone's admission, including hers, that was a big mistake. She was single, 24 years old, with a 4-year-old child, living in Hot Springs, Montana, and not too many prospects. The man she married had a college education and a good job. My mom was raised in a family in which her mother was the breadwinner for 7 children because my grandfather was ill. Perhaps the possibility of marrying a good provider trumped other attributes. My mom was in an unhappy and unhealthy marriage for 30 years. After my dad's death, my mom came into her own. She took up ballroom dancing, went on cruises, traveled a great deal, and moved to California. She had a boyfriend who was 20 years younger than she, the same age as me. These were difficult times for my mom and me. I had the horrifying realization that I actually preferred my mom as an oppressed woman. She had been an amazing caregiver, homemaker, and I liked believing that her greatest joy was to care for her children. I didn't want this hot babe that was younger than me for a mother. To see that my mom had other aspirations that I didn't share and wasn't particularly interested in was not easy. Plus, I was in a relationship with a woman, and that wasn't her greatest desire for me either. We both learned to accept each other for who we were and not who we wanted the other to be. Now our relationship is better than ever. I would want her for a friend, even if she wasn't my mom. She has a great sense of humor and amazing vitality. I will call her and she'll say that she just doesn't have the energy she used to have. She was only able to wash and wax the car, paint the garage, and reupholster the couch. She just can't seem to get much done during the day. I always tell her that I need a nap just after listening to what she's done. My mom takes risks and tries new things. She and her boyfriend ran a hot yoga studio when my mom was in her 60s. I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of doing yoga in a room that is at or above 100 degrees. I took some hot yoga classes from my mom, and for the novice yoga participant, it is the longest 90 minutes of your life. In fact, the first 3 minutes of class are some of the longest minutes you'll ever spend. Mom has recently started taking Argentine tango lessons. While my mom doesn't have a college education, she's incredibly well-read. She is proud that she's a member of Mensa, and she always knows more of the Jeopardy answers than I do. She can tell you about a movie she's seen, and her description will be so good you'll think you saw the movie too. She loves theater and musicals, and is willing to do things as long as they end before 5 o'clock in the evening. In fact, my aunt saw my mom's car out on North Reserve at 4:30 one afternoon, and my aunt asked me what my mom was doing out at that time of night. One of my mom's weirdest idiosyncrasies is that she loves cooking and cleaning. Even though she lives by herself, she cooks amazing meals. She offers to clean my house and my car, and while this doesn't reflect particularly well on me, I let her. She painted my entire house 5 years ago, and I didn't do too much to help, except to point out where she missed a spot. Mom isn't afraid of aging. She doesn't particularly like it, and she has had some physical ailments, but she is a person who is content with her life. That doesn't mean Mom has thrown in the hot babe towel. In the past couple of years, she's taken to wearing false eyelashes. Not because she wants people to notice her, but because she feels good wearing them. She wears them when she's out mowing the lawn and there isn't a soul around. I respect and admire my mom. She's a great example of someone who, like all of us, has made some really big mistakes, but she can acknowledge them and let go. She is not burdened by the things she's done wrong. She has some of the best attributes a person can have. She is kind and generous. She is a person you can depend on to help out when you need it. She will go the extra mile for you, and she will tell you that it's a privilege for her to be able to do it. I feel like things have come full circle with us. When I was young, I was in awe of my mom. I didn't really know her. Then I spent some time being judgmental of her, and then came to see her for the amazing person she is, and I am in awe of her again. I wish my mom many more years of dancing, cooking and cleaning, great visits together, and whatever her heart desires. This is Terry Kendrick. Thanks for listening.
Terry Kendrick is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Sarah Jovetic.
And I'm Courtney Anderson. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.